Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. In an urban or suburban community, you're never more than a short drive away from a healthcare practitioner. Whether you need to see a specialist or obtain emergency care, you have choices. And that's because medicine is like any other business. Providers go where the people are. But in rural areas, sparse, scattered populations mean many medical services may not be available locally. Hospitals, urgent care, local doctors, or dentists are becoming scarce. If a doctor's appointment means a round-trip drive that takes hours, which means losing half a day's work, you might choose to forego care.
This is just one of the challenges in providing health care to a rural population. With budget cutbacks, uncertainty in insurance coverage, and consolidation of services, many communities are left high and dry when it comes to care and treatment. Here with an overview of the current state of rural health care is Alana Knutson. Dr. Knutson serves as a program area director in the public health department at NORC at the University of Chicago, a nonpartisan and objective research organization originally founded as the National Opinion Research Center. She's also the co-director of NORC's Walsh Center for Rural Health Analysis.
Thank you for joining us on Take Care.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Knutson, before you give us an overview of those challenges facing a rural population in terms of health care, let's just define rural so we all know the same rough demographic or geographic type of situation we're talking about.
Certainly. There are many different definitions of rural. However, we most frequently use rural, for example, if we're looking at counties with fewer than 50,000 people that reside within those boundaries. So we're looking at anywhere from, you know, frontier, for example, that has six or fewer people per square mile, up to counties that have approximately 50,000 people.
But 50,000 seems like a fairly concentrated population.
That's correct. And a lot of those larger rural population areas do have access to healthcare services, including hospitals and urgent care and some specialty care, and the whole continuum of care is available. However, as we start getting more sparsely populated, we have fewer of those healthcare options available.
Several studies have shown that rural residents are older, poorer, and have fewer physicians to care for them. What are some of the barriers to healthcare access in rural areas?
Well, one of the biggest barriers has been historically financial access. Rural populations have also been more likely to be uninsured than their urban counterparts. So not having health insurance has been a barrier to seeking care. Likewise, because of the distances to seek some of the different types of healthcare services, transportation also can be a significant barrier, particularly when we're looking at some of the more older and frail elderly who may not be able to drive themselves. So they are reliant upon family or friends, which often means people needing to take time off from work to help that person access a healthcare service in a distant community.
Has that always been the problem? Because it seems like if you live far away from a city center, transportation might have always been a problem for you. But it seems like the challenges are really becoming more pronounced. What has changed over recent years to make it even tougher on people in rural areas?
Well, I think one issue has been our aging demographic. Rural communities have a higher proportion of elderly who live there, so just the proportion of elderly who need medical services has increased over time. There has also been some cuts in some of the different types of transportation support. For example, I come from a frontier community in North Dakota, and in my home community, there is a bus that goes once a week to a distant city that it's about 55 miles away, in which an elderly person can sign up for that bus and go on 7 a.m. in the morning and get back at 7 p.m. at night. But that also means that there is an expectation that you're going to be able to get your appointments on the one day a month when that bus leaves, versus having some flexibility and being able to access services at different times. And I think as we look at shrinking local and state resources, we see that this has an impact on, for example, the availability of locally supported transportation options.
And what about hospital closures and the inability of rural communities to really recruit and retain physicians?
You've identified a great challenge, and since 2010, we have had 81 rural hospitals close. Clearly, this is devastating for a rural community because oftentimes physicians are employed by the hospital. So when a hospital closes, you lose that portion of your healthcare providers. And likewise, some of the other health-related services that have supported that hospital, such as local pharmacies and different allied health professions, they too close or leave to find employment in other parts of the country. So when you see hospitals closing, it is not just the loss of the hospital and access to those important emergency and acute care services. You also see the loss of healthcare providers. And for many rural communities, that hospital is also an economic driver and may be the number one employer. So you then see a cascading effect where you also have additional people leaving that community because they no longer have that employment.
This sounds like this would hugely impact population health and patient well-being in rural communities. Is it safe to say that we are seeing outcomes that are not as positive in rural communities?
Indeed, we have. And anecdotally, we have heard of, you know, people whose hospital has closed and a family member has needed emergency medical services. And due to that hospital closure, that essential emergency medical service was far enough away that it negatively impacted the health outcome of a person who needed it. Because as we know, for a number of either emergency issues regarding trauma or, for example, a heart attack or a stroke, time is of the essence. And when you don't have access to that emergency room, it definitely adds stress to the community, particularly when we're looking at some of our rural communities that are ag-based, and we know that those types of employment, either in ag or energy extraction, we see a much higher proportion of people that have severe injuries. They're some of the riskiest occupations out there. So access to emergency and hospital care is critical to the health and well-being of those populations.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And our guest today is Dr. Alana Knutson. She serves as a program area director in the Public Health Department at NORC at the University of Chicago, a nonpartisan and objective research organization originally founded as the National Opinion Research Center. She's also the co-director of NORC's Walsh Center for Rural Health. We've identified several of the challenges: access to hospitals, hospital closures, inability to retain doctors, and you were talking about lack of transportation in some of these areas. I know also that opioid addiction and alcoholism are disproportionately higher in rural communities. Let's talk about some of the strategies and programs that are currently in place to address some of these challenges.
There are programs out there that also help to attract physicians to practice in rural communities. There are physician repayment loans so that newly minted graduates have an opportunity to establish practices in rural areas and have some of their medical school loans forgiven. There's also a J-1 visa program that allows foreign medical graduates to practice in our rural communities. And these have greatly supported and enhanced the access to healthcare services in rural America. However, we still have fewer physicians per population than we see in urban communities. And we also rely a fair amount on our nurse practitioners and physician assistants, who are very important primary care providers and also provide essential support to our hospitals and clinics in those rural communities.
and even volunteers are probably playing a role that you might not see in an urban setting.
Well, and I would say volunteers, especially when it comes to transportation. There's a lot of rural communities that out of necessity have been very innovative in developing, for example, volunteer share rides to be able to assist and address the transportation gaps that their populations face.
We talked about people living in rural areas, and of course that would include farm communities. According to a new U.S. Department of Agriculture-funded study, lack of access to affordable health insurance is one of the most significant concerns facing American farmers, probably along with a lot of the other things we discussed. Can you briefly describe the current situation?
Certainly. I would liken that our farm families are also part of the small businesses in our country. And when you look at our farmers, in that study, we also found that over half of the farmers indicated that they were concerned that they'd have to sell some or all of their farm and ranch assets to be able to address long-term care costs, for example, or future nursing home costs, or any kind of in-home costs. And likewise, we also learned that about that same percentage felt that they did not have enough money to be able to address some kind of catastrophic injury or illness. So if farmers have to sell their land, for example, and they need this financial support for health-related costs, they are much more likely to sell it to highest bidders. And what we're seeing across the country is that farmland is being sold to commercial interests where they can sell it for a higher amount of money per acre than to a starting farmer. And so this really puts a bottleneck then in young farmers who want to purchase land to be able to continue farming it and support ag into the future.
Dr. Knudsen, you have 2 decades of experience implementing public health programs, leading health policy research projects, and evaluating programs at the state and national level. As you mentioned earlier, you've grown up in a rural community, so you have feet on the ground experience. You know these people. Given the breadth of the challenges we've talked about today, what thoughts do you have on how we can best meet the healthcare needs of our rural population?
Well, I think the challenges also necessitate an opportunity to be very innovative. And I think what we see in many of our rural communities is that they can really serve as that hub of innovation, not only for rural communities, but also to inform urban communities. And I think when we look at how healthcare is delivered, clearly local decisions and having that local empowerment to make some decisions about what principles or what values that local community shares and how that impacts the kind of healthcare that's available to them is really important. And I think we're seeing that across the country. In fact, I am working on a project here in the state of Maryland on the Midshore, which is rural in our state. And we are talking about looking at developing a coalition, for example, that would be able to perhaps come together and collectively identify priorities and bring the resources to the table so that we can all benefit and not duplicate, because we just don't have enough resources in rural communities to duplicate. But what we're really good at doing in rural communities is collaborating. And I think that collaboration piece is really the key to ensuring access to essential health services, including public health and behavioral health and emergency services and oral health and the whole continuum of care through the lifetime.
Our topic has been rural healthcare challenges. Our guest, Dr. Alana Knudsen, she serves as the Program Area Director in Public Health Department at NORC at the University of Chicago, and she's also the co-director of NORC's Walsh Center for Rural Health Analysis. Thank you for your in-depth look at rural health. We appreciate it.
Thank you.